This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 23, being recorded on Wednesday. It is August the 16th, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
Now, normally, this is the part of Schnauzer Logic where I read or try to read or have Parviz read a really bad joke, but our listeners are finally getting into the act. They're part of the magic of Schnauzer Logic. We have a joke submission this week from Mark Z. So, without any further ado, here is this week's joke, written, recorded, and performed by our very own Mark Z.
Hello, Schnauzer Logic, this is Mark, and I have a joke for you guys. I hope it's remotely funny, if funny at all. Anyhow, there was a big old airliner heading to Sacramento from Boston, and along the way, they had some engine problems, and the plane fell out of the sky and crash-landed in a field in the middle of nowhere. Now, there were only three survivors, a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. So, one night, the redhead comes back with a big fat deer for dinner, and the blonde and the brunette asked, "Hey, where did you get that deer?" And the redhead replied, "Well, I find tracks, I follow tracks, I kill the deer." So that night, they had a delicious dinner. The next day, the brunette comes out, and with a big rabbit. This is not a normal rabbit, this is like a fat rabbit. So, the blonde and the redhead asked the brunette, "How did you get the rabbit?" And the brunette replied, "Well, I find tracks, I follow tracks, I kill the rabbit." So, the next day, the blonde comes back after a couple of hours, and she's all torn up. Her shirt is barely hanging on. There's holes in her pants. And the brunette and the redhead asked, "What happened to you?" And the blonde replied, "I find tracks, I follow tracks, I get hit by train." Anyhow, I hope you guys enjoyed that. My name is Mark. You can check me out at www.flightdream.blogspot.com. Until next time, I'm going to get out of here. Bye-bye.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Vista, my friend, Son of Vista, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic being recorded on Wednesday. It is August the 16th, 2006, and my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to welcome each and every one of you once again to what proves to be, what will prove to be, what is sure to be, guaranteed to be, an exceptional show. Guaranteed, or your money back? Yeah. We got a great show for you today. First of all, let us say Sona Vista to the guys really helped me carry this off the last couple of weeks. I mean, let's be honest, without Parviz Fatali.
That was very good.
Without Parviz Fatali, where would we be?
And without John DeCoven, where would these jokes come from? This guy had the same drawl as John DeCoven. I thought it was John DeCoven.
What happened to the volume? All of a sudden, everything's like, do you notice everything's real loud?
My headphones are not that loud.
Oh, I know. That's because you don't normally use that mic.
I don't. Oh, and I've got a voluptuous voice.
You're a little hot.
I got a thick, boomish voice.
But those are not the right headphones for your head.
They're not.
No.
They look like the McDonald's...
Those are scary.
Happy Meal headphones.
Those are scary headphones on your head. Let's say, Son of Easter to Parviz Fatali.
Son of Easter, Robin.
You noticed I wasn't using my hands this week. You made me all self-conscious, you prick.
No. It's the high octave. Son of me, son of my friend. Son of me. That's what I'm talking about.
I know, but when I do that, I do it with the hands.
Oh, yeah, you do the hand thing. Like you're flipping like a pizza in the air or something.
I'm flipping a pancake with my hands. Where do you eat and how do you cook and why didn't anybody get you some kind of utensils for your fucking wedding? That's what I want to know. All right. And sitting next to him, stage right, my stage left, the one, the only, you know him, you love him, you can't get enough of him. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mr. Sean Neill!
Thank you guys for having me back. Thank you.
Nice to be back.
Oh, it's great to be back.
What is it nice to what?
I don't know. I got flustered. Sean's next to me. I'm so excited. And he's got his hand on my thigh. Stop it.
That's the comedy that
was lacking.
Without you here, we didn't have that kind of comedy.
I wasn't going to the thigh.
It was strictly above the waist, Tom.
You're telling me you didn't work blue the whole time?
Not at all.
Acolytes, my friend.
I went back to church.
We got comments about that. People want you to say it instead. You think that you sound more annoyed than Sean does. Do you remember where that came from, by the way? What?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead. Oh, Sean.
Last week.
Sean.
Last
Sean.
Week.
Sean.
If you heard the podcast, I got great reviews on my imitation of Sean Meehan.
Wasn't that what I was just talking about?
Well, not to me.
Yes.
You were talking to your audience, not to me.
But I'm looking at you. Can you switch headphones with him? Because those are so creepy on your head.
I don't like it.
Those are like form-fitting headphones for you with the bald and the plastic and the hole. See, that works for him.
Oh, you see?
Oh, that's perfect. That's what we need.
Okay, this is the problem.
Because there's a little space there.
That's very
so
muddy.
Your head, those are muddy?
Yeah. These are very clear. I like these headphones.
All right, great. Now, thanks for telling him that what he had sucked. Yeah, these really suck. Here, you can have them.
I just thought I had too much earwax. Apparently I don't. I'm clean.
See, but those are nice because we can see there's some space between your skull and the band.
That became one.
We are at 8 minutes into this episode of Schnauzelogic. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, and Parviz Fatali.
We interrupted Sean. Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry.
No. We got to say hello to our regulars, and then we'll let him get back to
okay.
it. Because Sean hasn't been here for over 2 months, we figured, right?
I forgot who's in attendance.
Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. First of all, let's ask for Mr. Adada / K. There we go. And we also have Zwirling, comma M.
Stroke or unload.
We also have Cheney, comma D. And we have Whittington, comma H. And I really want Whitney Houston, but I wasn't... What are you doing? Did you catch something? Uh-huh. If it's smaller than about 3 inches, it's mine. No, I mean throw it back. But seriously, folks, we're going to be here all week long.
Whitney Houston's here?
Huh?
Whitney Houston's here?
I don't have Whitney. Whitney's supposed to be here. We have more regular guests who are going to be
sure
joining us.
I'm sure she's somewhere on the floor right now.
She's
going to
be joining us on a regular basis. It was before my mom passed away, and a week before that, you guys were both sick, right? You were mm-hmm, you had yeah. a dental emergency, you had a colon
poisoning.
Emergency, and so Jason Nathanson and I were the only ones who did the show. We did an hour show, so it's been quite a while.
It has. It has been a long time since we've all been together in the studio.
Place look different?
It looks charmingly and reassuringly identical
okay.
to my memory.
All right.
Of what I don't believe anything was changed.
Haven't dusted.
No, there's
forensics team has still got everything taped off with the paper tape, the white tape.
I think I don't know if I recognize that TDK DVD 25er pack there.
Yeah,
that could be new.
All right,
Sean, you missed the worst heat wave we've had. I mean, this
I don't know
room,
that he missed it.
Yeah, he missed it.
Well, I mean,
well,
it wasn't
I,
in the room
spent,
with us. But
I've spent part of the heat wave in Sonoma. Now, ideally, I live. Near the coast than where we record this. I live in a community called Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is much cooler.
Community.
It is. It's a community.
Community.
It's a very special.
Is it
community.
A gated community?
No, it is not. Unfortunately,
but a lot of people wish it were.
Yes,
to keep those folks in.
Yeah, and to keep the undesirables out. But
like who? Clean
what
people?
What was that? Did you just burp?
No, I cleared my throat. I thought about the undesirables. I felt an obstruction, and I felt I needed to move it.
All right.
But in any case, it's much cooler there, so Parviz probably thinks that I was lounging in Santa Cruz enjoying
no.
weather in the 70s. But in fact, at least for some of the heat wave, I was in Sonoma, which is just as hot, if not hotter, than here. And it was blistering misery.
Well, what I meant
so
to say...
So I felt for you.
No, this room that we're in right now, during the heat wave, was very, very warm. And you missed the heat wave. The Schnauzer Logic heat wave.
Oh, the heat generated by the intensity of entertainment produced in this very room on the Schnauzer Logic podcast.
No, it was just hot.
My
That's
mistake.
All I'm saying.
Now, why were you making faces while I was playing Mark Z's joke?
Making faces?
Like you almost look like you had a stroke. Like half of the muscles in your face. Like, I've seen those looks before, right before somebody passes out. Usually Petite
Or Brian Mall, Cox.
Petite Mall. Cox. My friend. Cox, my friend. But it was a joke with production values. He gave us a music bed behind that. That's pretty cool.
Okay. You're going to make... Now Mark's going to hate me. I love the joke. It was a very funny joke.
Mark may already hate you. We have no idea.
That's true.
Mark's got his own website, by the way. It is... yes, sir?
I was just going to say the only...
Raising your hand. Yes, the gentleman with the red t-shirt and the form-fitting headphones.
There's a difference. He raises his hand. I go, Robin.
And then when I go yes and you go, can I ask you a question?
I'm so polite. Why is that wrong?
You just did.
If Mark decides to grace us with another joke,
yes.
I just feel that somewhere in the joke, he has to add the term... Oh, wait. I told it wrong. Hold on. I got to go back. That has to be in there. Oh, wait. I told it wrong. You get that in there, and you've moved from gold to platinum.
Comedy gold. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Last week, we had shorter segments, more songs, and people were thrilled.
So they like to hear music instead of us?
I don't know. I didn't actually put that together, but now that I think about it, maybe it was an insult. All right. Well, I gotta scratch my head over this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. The other thing that was really successful last week, wow, was the music from One Hit Wonders.
Oh, cool.
People love that. Cool. We got a lot of email about that. People really love that. So what I have done is I have replenished from our schnauzer stock of songs, more one-hit wonder tunage here today.
Cool.
We got a little Don't Give Up on Us, Baby. You remember who that's by?
No. Don't Give Up on Us, Baby. Give me a decade.
I'm not going to give you a decade. I'm going to play it. That's the song we're going to play.
All right.
All right? And you can think of a little Starsky and or Hutch while we're playing this, and it may come on back to you. All right?
All right.
All right, there you go. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. The whole gang is here. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Jason Nathanson. He asked if we'd call in a little bit early today, so we're going to be doing that and find out where he is in his incredible journey around the world. So stick around, my friends. Stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Isn't just one night, it's written in the moonlight, painted on the stars. We can't change ours. Don't give up on us, baby. We're still worth one more try. I know we put a last one by, just for a rainy evening, when maybe stars are few. Don't give up on us, I know, we can still come through. Don't give up on us, baby.
Lord knows we've come this far. Can't we stay the way we are? The angel and the dreamer, who sometimes play. Still come through. It's written in the moonlight and painted on the stars. We can't change. Still come through. Don't give up on us, baby. Don't give up on us, baby.
We feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Crystal!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 18 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, and Sean Meehan.
Son of Easter.
www.schnauzerlogic.com is the webpage. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com, that is the email address. We're over on MySpace. It is www.myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. I just got Google Analytics. Do you know what this is?
No.
It's a rare disease. No, it's some kind of way of tracking where people are listening to the show, and it puts up a map on the screen so you can actually see every place that someone has gone to the webpage to listen to the show. And so I only installed it like late last night. And we have like there was like one listener in Kurdistan. I swear to God, one listener in like Beijing.
Ding, 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 ding.
Thank you for not disappointing
and all
me.
All the rest are in the Shia Crescent. And that's what really disturbed me.
It's like, well, I don't know if they're listening because they hate me or they love him. Or maybe the other way around. But seriously, folks, I'm going to be here all week. It's Jews in a train. No, snakes in a plane. Jews in a train. That was a horror story, too. Oh, man. Ooh, that's not funny. That's not. Oh, don't. That's not funny.
Jeff Goldblum, man.
Jews on a train. David Soul.
David Soul.
From
Starsky and Hutch.
He was the blonde guy.
Yeah, he was Hutch.
He was Hutch.
I had totally forgotten about that song, and I just think, wow. I wonder if he's still litigating with Engelbert Humperdinck over that masterwork.
That was a top 40 hit. I mean,
that was huge.
That was a big hit for him.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering if you're David Soul. Well, I'm not wondering if you're David Soul. I can tell that you're not.
Me?
Yeah. But I'm wondering if you're... Parviz, can I ask you a question? I was wondering if you're David Soul.
That's the only way to get my attention.
I'm wondering if you're David Soul. Like, do you think maybe I'm going to move into the music biz? Like, maybe I'm going to be a double threat or a triple threat, right? The way that...
Kind of a J-Lo type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, there were Don a Johnson. Number... There uh-huh. were a number of people at that time who were kind of coming out of that. Keith Carradine, who is best known certainly as an actor. He had a big hit. I can't remember what it was.
I'm Easy.
I'm Easy.
Because right. I'm easy.
Yeah, that was
say
that was a huge hit.
I
think that he couldn't do some films because he was touring. He was in Ridley Scott's first film called The Duelists. Ridley Scott
that.
Of Alien, Blade Runner, Gladiator, that's
the original Apple commercial.
The original Apple 1984.
1984 commercial.
Yeah, the original yep. Mac commercial.
Yep, yep.
He was making his first film in Europe. He wanted for whatever reason, he wanted Keith Carradine mm-hmm. to play a Napoleonic-era French duelist. And no, he couldn't do it because he was on tour with the whole I'm Easy thing.
And look where that took him.
And yeah. But he eventually came back. Things got pushed. So thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Olivier, thank God. Thank God. God bless you. God bless you. That's all I'm saying. God bless you. All right. So we need to call Jason. So let me... I meant to do that. I got so into the tune, I forgot to call him during the break. Which is my bad. Hold on a second here. Let me... let's see. So it is... let's see. Make sure this is working. Yes. All right. So... Like you could tell what I was dialing anyhow. I'm such a retard.
Right, and we've reached zippity doo dah now.
Hold on. I wonder if he's in a place where the phone doesn't work. I don't know.
Hello?
Jason?
Yeah, Robin. Yeah, Robin.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Well, you're a little low.
There's an echo.
There's a kind of a weird echo.
Yeah,
it's like I actually hear you talking before you start talking. Hold on a second.
Well, that's weird.
Is that any better?
No, there's still an echo. I hear you, too.
You can hear me, too?
I can hear you.
What?
Are you in a cave?
No, I'm in a hot second bedroom with Sean and Parvis. Fatale. You didn't tell me how to say your first name. You just tell me
Fatale.
All right, fine.
That sounds like a title to a porno. Hot second bedroom with Sean and Barbie.
You know, it's a weird connection today. It almost sounds like you're here.
Cell phone technology these days.
Yeah. What about?
It can sound like I'm right in the next room.
That's amazing.
Like I'm right here.
See what happens if you hang up the phone.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, put your hands together. It is our good friend, Mr. Jason Nathanson, in the studio.
Thank you.
Woo!
Thank you.
Hey!
I feel like with an introduction like that, walk around the room. How you ladies do it.
Dude,
hi.
Welcome to welcome to Schnauzer Central. You don't have to shout. You're not in a mall or a parking garage. You told me you didn't need headphones. I don't need any headphones. So, I'm a professional. Those are your exact words.
During that segment, I was drawing Jews on a train.
Yehudin on a... you should have thrown a couple of snakes in there just to make it extra scary. It's either a snake or a pile of dog crap. I can't tell. Which do you think it is?
Let's just say it's both.
All right, there you go. Welcome. There
Thank
he
you.
Is.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Wait, wait, wait. Hold a second. I forgot to play your official theme song. Let's get it going here.
Well, he sneaks around the world from Kiev to Carolina. Sticky fingered filcher from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world is the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van? He flies around the globe.
Now, you're rocking out to your own song here, dude.
Yeah, and I have a confession to make.
Yeah?
It's actually an 89 van.
Okay.
This whole time we've been calling it an 88 van.
Just because it sounds better?
No, I just...
You didn't know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's an 88 and a half.
Yeah. It's right on the cusp. It got held back a year.
Well, you know the song, was it Summer of 69? Got my first real... He actually wrote that in 70... Was it 79 that he wrote that?
It was some later time, but the record execs made him change it.
Because they go, well, Summer of 79 is a crappy song title, but Summer of 69, I like that. That works for me, so... So you're good. You're in good company.
Yes.
We didn't expect to see you here.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
I needed a place to stay for the night.
What's the deal? I got a driveway. You got a van.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a line from romantic
comedy.
Many times. What? Screwing your nut? Beg your pardon? What? Hello? Mommy? Is this thing on?
Yeah, it took me a lot less time to get from Yellowstone to here than I thought it was going to.
Wow.
Plus, there was a baby involved, and there's a lot of extenuating circumstances.
Indiana wants me.
If you'll remember from the first episode I appeared on, it was actually the second. I had a baby changing table in the van.
This was your first tour of the West Coast, as I recall.
When I started the trip.
When you were Nathanson Movers.
Yes.
One Jew in a van.
Well, the baby for whom that was for, that was dramatically horrible.
As Parvi's been helping here to give me lessons,
has come into existence. And so originally meant for the trip to kind of end at this time right around when the baby was coming so I could be here for the baby, and it all kind of worked out.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
And the baby's name is?
Aiden.
Aiden.
A-Y-D-E-N.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely. And this is John and Jen's baby.
This is John and Jen. John is my best friend from junior high school, college.
Is that right? You guys knew each other down there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And we did a radio show where I first met Robin and Sean. Parvis wasn't there.
In spirit,
yeah,
he was.
Not really.
His hair was there.
Wow. My brother. My brother.
He got married last year and now has a little kid. First of the friends to have a kid. And
that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
It changes a lot.
It makes them unavailable. Well, it's what it does.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I'll
never talk to him again. Is that
No.
You'll talk to him, but you'll never actually get together, and you'll never spend quality time. What's going to happen is you're going to be offered an opportunity to spend time with him while he's running errands.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be the future of your relationship.
That would be great. Most of the time, people wanted me to get together with them because the baby liked me. And so, I don't know how they could tell. I know.
No, he doesn't spit up on anybody else like that. It's just, look how orange and biley it is.
Also, their parrots like me, too. He shit on me. He goes, that's a good sign. It means he feels comfortable with you. I go, that's every relationship I've ever had.
That you get shit on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to.
So now I'm here. The baby was born on Sunday.
Right. Okay.
And should I?
No, we're good.
Okay,
we're good.
And so I entered into Seattle or the Washington area on. When did I talk to you? That was Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Left Yosemite on Thursday. Didn't really do much between Yosemite and the West Coast of Washington. I stayed for a night in Missoula, Montana.
Oh yeah.
And I went into Walmart. I stayed at a Walmart and went inside to take a shit. I mean, there's no other way to say that.
Okay.
And I come out and there's winds, just and dark sky and lightning and. In 5 minutes, I hadn't... It was
a powerful shit. It changed the primal forces of the cosmos.
It's like, the butterfly effect? Where Ashton Kutcher, that has nothing on the Jason.
I changed the atmosphere with my dump.
The gods are displeased.
Over in China?
That's weird. And as many people know, Walmart stock dropped this week for the first time in in 10 years.
We're going to take you out for something really heavy tonight for dinner.
I dropped something at Walmart and their stock dropped too.
I bet you John is very happy. You know, the first moment he talks about is Aiden, the next one is taking a dump. That's great, Jason.
But this dump had the power of the gods.
So I come out and it's just it's storm central. There's like a tornado about to. You know how they
fecalicious.
They put little plants outside Targets and Walmarts, the little potted plants to sell, and those were all blowing everywhere. They were flying across the parking lot, and so I started calling people to see my internet connection wasn't working to see if I was about to be hit by a tornado or something because that was the only thing I could think of, and I wasn't sure if in Montana they. we get tornadoes there. There was a trailer park right next to me, so I was scared that if there was going to be a tornado, that's exactly where it was going to hit. And so the sky just darkened and the wind kept going for about another half hour, 45 minutes, but the storm passed to the north of me and I was safe. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear this loud crash, glass, something smashing outside, and I peek out my window. And up until that point, I haven't had a lot of fear of sleeping in some weird place at night. Mm-hmm. I usually keep the windows open so I can hear if somebody's approaching or something. And I have a little buck knife next to me in case, you know, I kill somebody. Although if somebody actually broke in, I wouldn't really know what to do with it.
Wait, let me circumcise myself again.
You plant it on him after you beat him to death with the bat
right. I have the bat too. But I'm trying to think about scenarios about people breaking in. And there's going to be an arm coming through, or they might have a gun, and what do? You stab them in the arm as they're coming in, or do you?
It's not like you have a whole lot of room to maneuver in that van.
No, I don't, and they do. So, but luckily nothing happened. So there's this loud sound of glass.
Luckily,
crashing.
Nothing happened.
And I look out, and I didn't see anything. And then I hear a car drive by and honk its horn.
Wait, that wasn't glass. I'm sorry. Sorry, I played a sound effect. You don't have headphones, no. So I played a sound effect of a tree falling. No. We'll just pretend that that was pretend that it was glass.
So I wake up in the morning and I look outside, and right next to the van, about 5 feet from the van, is this big green and yellow mess of glass. It was an ashtray that somebody had thrown in the direction of the van, and you could tell somebody threw it at me and meant for it to crash near me to wake up the weird homeless sleeping guy in the van or something, you know?
Wow.
And it was the first instance I'd have, and it was probably kids, you know, kids hanging out in the Walmart parking lot late at night.
Kids.
You blame everything on kids. Global warming, kids.
Kids. Kids and Jews. If Mel Gibson were pulled over today, goddamn kids.
And if you have kid Jews, then you're really fucked.
Cause all the wars.
Get over here, Wonder Titties. I'm going to tell you a story about kids and Jews. And they start all the wars.
You know, in showbiz, one of the, you never go on after kids are Jews. Then we'd have no showbiz, right? I mean.
So I, you know, and looking at the glass, it looked like it was maybe it was a bong, but it looked like an ashtray because nobody would throw their bong at me. I mean, that's just stupid. You waste a bong.
Unless it was Alberto Gonzalez. Get a job, hippie.
But would he have
a call
bong?
Back to the Big Lebowski.
So yeah, that was the first instance in the whole trip in 3.5 months where somebody, I guess, you know, they tried to fuck with me.
Perpetuate a little violence on
you. Yeah, and it was a little, it freaked me out a little bit.
I mean, to come home.
It's time to end it. Missoula, Montana.
Time to get out of Missoula. Yeah.
Missoula, Montana.
Pretty much.
Well, you remember Twin Peaks?
Is that where Twin Peaks was?
No, it wasn't. But God, doesn't matter what I say now. You've kind of ruined it for me. No, there's a scene where Leland, who is the guy, the character's name was Leland Palmer. Leland Palmer, the father of the girl who I think we learn is sort of possessed by Bob, right? Who's this kind of netherworld spirit. He hits someone and he says, "I'm going to send you right back to Missoula, Montana." And he hits him with this kind of, you know, unreal, otherworldly force. And so for me now, Missoula, Montana has this very evil connotation. Denotation? Connotation. Which one is
connotation.
It? Connotation. Connotation. All right, thanks. You agree, Parvis? We'll get all of us together and...
I agree.
All right.
Well, let's check the big board.
It's well earned.
I guess.
They're not nice there.
That's too bad.
Missoula. And it's weird because everybody I talked to after that had... Oh, Missoula. Somebody told me Missoula was really nice. You just winked at me very oddly.
No, I didn't. I got something in my...
I was like, what are you trying to tell
I
me?
Have...
Is that
I
a
have...
radio signal that I didn't learn in my years in broadcasting?
Yes. Means I think you're hot. No, it means I have a little some liquid in my eye, and I was turning to the side here to see where the mic levels were.
Okay.
It's information nobody gives a shit about. We're going to go into a break, by the way. You don't have headphones, so you can't hear that we're going into a break.
So everybody after...
You have another mic for him? Is that what you're showing him?
I told you. I don't want to talk into that, Sean.
Yeah,
people, I don't like your
the home audience
mic.
Is going to wonder what the hell's going on here.
He has a trouser mic, is what he pulled out.
First, I'm touching Parvis's thigh. Now I'm offering Jason the mic.
Let me see here. Hold on. Let me get this letter.
Boobies.
Boobies. Yeah, we turn this down. Boobies. There you go.
Tiny boobies.
That's Misha. It's Misha saying boobies. A long time ago.
I couldn't even hear it.
Oh, well, we'll play it during the break. Here's what we'll do. Now I'm really hot. Okay, now I'm like way too hot here. All right, now that's better. All right. We'll take another break. We'll play. Jason's got the microphone in his ear. Now I want a camera. listening to Misha say boobies about 10 years ago before she had them. And, oh, that was cold. But wow. True. But cold. But true. More tunage from little Carl Lewis. You know Carl Lewis? Remember Carl Lewis?
The sprinter? The track star?
No, and not the...
Oh, damn.
Carl Douglas. I'm sorry, Carl Douglas. Remember Carl Douglas?
No.
Not the not the attorney who helped out on the Judge Ito case. The O.J. Simpson case. I'm sure he loved to know that it was the
Judge Ito
case. The Judge Ito case.
Lancito.
Lancito.
My favorite Italian judge.
Lancito. That's a small lance. All right. We'll take a break. Now you're looking at me the way Parvis normally does. So now I'm guessing it's me. All right, we'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them. Chinese art, and everybody knew their part. From a fainting to a slip, and a kicking from the hip. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. Yeah. But they fought with expert timing. There was Funky Billy Chin and little Sammy Chung. He said, here comes the big boss. Let's get it on.
Flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
A Welcome back. We're 40 minutes in this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Harvey Spitali, and Jason Nathanson in the studio, in the his house.
Wait, I didn't turn your mic on. I'm sorry. That, when you said Parvizi's name, he just ate his own armpit.
It's a Persian thing.
Okay. Maybe you guys are used to it. Nobody in here flinched.
It's a Persian thing. Me. We don't flinch at anything that he does. Welcome back. Schnauzer Logic. Oh, yeah, so we have listeners all over the world. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Straight white booze, vegetarian, lesbian. Now you got me all fucked up last week.
No.
Yeah.
No, I made you tighten it up.
No, you didn't.
Yes, you did.
Sona Vista, my friend. Sona Vista! I feel like a cheap magician now.
It's the Italiano.
No, you did the thing with the hands, like jazz hands, like crazy hands. How the fuck you did that? But maybe self-conscious.
Seriously?
Not so self-conscious,
seriously?
I won't stop it.
Seriously? This show right here? Yeah. America does have talent.
It's this room that...
It's coming out of your hands.
All right. And Jason Nathanson, who's back from his trip around the world.
Or the country.
Around the country.
Yeah. One of the two.
So you were telling us that the trip sort of from Yosemite, Yosemite.
No, Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
Close, they both have Ys.
Yeah, Yellowstone. Do they?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yosemite.
That's right. Now I'm trying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I need the song, too.
Those bastards hit him in plain sight.
So we were talking before the show. Actually, you were talking with the other guys before the show. Mm-hmm. Is this when you expected to get back? I mean, you figured it would...
I'd originally figured 3 months with a kind of extra month buffer. So
okay.
4 months, maybe. I'm sorry, then you're winking again. And it looks painful for you, too, because it's like...
I have something in my contact.
You have something in your eye. That's horrible.
I do have something in my eye. That's all right. No, it's okay.
Yeah, 4 months, 3-4 months was around, and I wasn't sure exactly how long money would run or, you know, my interest in the trip or where I would be. And a few setbacks in the beginning set the trip back by a couple weeks. I was on the East Coast, I think, longer than I had planned originally.
Mm-hmm.
Because the car broke down. And
yeah, well,
in Vegas for
people
a while.
Know because they've all listened to the show. You talked about your interest. I mean, did you get bored?
I didn't get bored because usually I was seeing new things and that was interesting, but it did get a little repetitive. So, I mean, I guess that's a little bit of boredom.
I know Sean's nodding off even as we speak. So.
I was just going to say, was tired of defeating Al-Qaeda plots. It became wearisome moving from state to state.
I was with OJ looking for the real killers. I mean, there was a lot going on. You go from national park to national park, and the national parks are beautiful, and each has their own character, but, you know, it's a lot of camping, and it's staying in KOAs, which are all the same, pretty much.
That's Campgrounds of America.
Yeah.
Is it
with a K. No, they hate Jews.
Okay.
What were you just going to say?
Seeing a theme.
It's KKKOA. No, they're all... KOAs are the McDonald's of campgrounds. Every city you go to, you know exactly what you're going to get. And it's not going to be the greatest experience in the world, but it's going to be something that's safe and clean.
A quiet place to masturbate.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that off mic. Nobody heard it. We'll put the sound of birds in over that or something like that. Little sweet little birdies.
If only A Place of My Own would have been titled...
A Room of My Own.
A Room of My Own.
A Room
yes.
of My Own.
a clean, safe place where I can masturbate.
That's a bookstore up in the city,
it is,
I think.
It is.
Yeah, Ferlin Getty.
A clean, poorly lit place where I can jack off.
I ran into several of those in Oregon, which has the highest strip club per capita of anybody in the
United. Weren't they trying to pass laws up there? I mean, were you in any way...
passing laws? No.
No.
In Oregon? Was I part of that movement?
you were part of the movement of passing laws at that Walmart.
Yeah.
But no, really, they have some kind of legislation. There are various states around this great union that have had legislation to try and somehow limit or curtail the growth of strip clubs.
There definitely was. And
in Oregon, I believe they had some of that. It was some voter thing. It was like an initiative.
I saw a lot of signs, and one of the first ones I posted on my blog from Oregon was a sign of that said, "Porn hurts everyone," in front of a strip club. Right behind it is the sign for the strip club, and right in front of it, it's a it's a family, and it looks like the family that's fleeing across the border in San Diego. They're kind of all holding hands, and it says porn hurts everyone, so you're supposed to get that it hurts families.
But put an eye out with that thing.
Porn hurts illegal immigrants, I guess, is what really happens.
We've got to get to the porn-free zone. Hurry.
So once I got past Chicago, really, and things started to look all the same, and it started to get a little less exciting, the rest of the country, that's when I kind of started to realize there's not really a whole lot left to see. I wanted to go to Yellowstone. Wow. I wanted to go to Mount Rushmore.
Did you tell anyone that though? When you went, you know what? You got to go get back past Chicago, because I'm just going to tell you something about this part of the country. There's nothing to see. It's real boring here. Any other part of the country,
most of them would agree with.
Keep
me.
Moving. Nothing to see here.
Move along.
Most of them would agree with me. Nobody liked where they were in most of the Midwest. Most of the people I talked to were not happy to be there. So. It
Chamber of Commerce spokesman.
Really?
It wasn't just me.
Welcome to the land of disenchantment. And Lincoln. 10,000 polluted lakes. And Lincoln.
No, but, well, I mean, and well, the lakes are beautiful. I mean, you know, Minnesota's nice. It's beautiful, but it's nothing new that you're not going to see in any other part of the country. I mean, a lot of the country has lakes. It's not like you're seeing some crazy new lake. Some new. There's no Loch Ness Monster or species or something. It's a lake, and once you've seen a lake is a lake.
So basically what you're trying to say is, if, you know, this is just a bias you bring because of where you started. Someone from there could easily think, oh, well, this is wonderful, but I'm going to another part of the country, and look, they have lakes, and they're no different than our
absolutely.
Lakes. There's no Loch Ness Monster. There's
right. But we
so let's go to Scotland, where they have a Loch Ness Monster.
It was like a lake filled of jello.
Let's see a real lake. I want to see a lake with something in it, a real lake. A lake full of goo or something wonderful. What is this? It's just water in a puddle. It's terrible.
And maybe it's just the nature of the trip. I mean, I stayed in a lot of campgrounds because I was sleeping in a car, and that's the easiest place to stay when you're sleeping in a car. Walmarts are good too, but you know, after Walmart, after Walmart, after Walmart, after campground, after KOA, it starts to get repetitive. So
tired of hearing, get out, you damn Jew.
Right? Yeah, it wears on a person's soul. And eating so many grilled cheeses, because you know, you go to places like that a lot in the Midwest. When you say you're a vegetarian, it, you know, they look at you funny. Like you're a pedophile or something. So it was after Chicago, I pretty much became resigned to the fact that, okay, the trip is definitely winding down. And not that I want to go back home, because I have nothing to go back to. I have my friends and my family, and I'm happy to see them.
Well, this was a hell of a journey that you've led here, my friend.
Well, when you were in that part of the country, though, I have to assume, given the political times here, did you feel, as a Jew, obligated to help the Lieberman campaign in Connecticut? I mean, you were near that area at a time when he really could have used your help.
That's
and
true.
Are you the kind of self-hating Jew who turned his back on Lieberman and drove home?
The short answer is no. I mean, I support Lieberman. But I didn't actually do anything to support him. So,
ouch, ladies
like most
and
of his constituents.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm not from Vermont, so I'm not one of his constituents. So, you know, screw him.
Yeah,
I'm
actually, technically, neither is he. He's a senator from Connecticut.
Whatever.
I'm not from Vermont.
First of all,
whatever.
Okay, have you been to Connecticut and Vermont? Same thing. It's all the same.
I love Senator Lieberstein. I love it.
Hold on.
You get up there in that area.
The opinions of the guests on the Schnauzer Logic radio program do not necessarily affect the staff, management, or advertisers. If you hear something with which you disagree, then just listen to something else and come back next week.
It's all woods and moose and you know,
that's
and,
it.
And
it's
and
woods
cheese.
And moose.
Woods and moose and
woods
cheese.
Woods and oh my.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's all the same around there. Lieberman is he's actually the only senator that I actually met. So, interesting enough.
In Vermont. In Vermont, he met Lieberman.
That's Lieberman's problem. He was campaigning in the wrong state. He's got an enormous following in Vermont now.
And I can't help him if he doesn't know what state to campaign
in. And South Dakota, Tom Harkin.
Yeah, so where were we?
You know, when we were talking to you on the phone each week, and there would be, we'd say something, and then there would be a pause before we started talking again, I assumed that that was a delay caused by the cell phone. But now I realize that that's just built into the software.
Yeah, it's just in the head. It takes a while to start up.
All right.
There haven't been pauses. What are you talking about? Go back and listen to that. I've been on.
We will.
This has been snappy.
Oh, yeah,
this
has been good. It's snappy.
This has been...
It's snappy.
Do we have another one-hit wonder coming up?
We got more one-hit. We got lots of tunes today because people said that the songs made the show better.
So basically, an increased frequency of songs put together by guys who could never make another dent in the music industry have improved the quality of our program.
And coming up at number three, what do we got, Robin?
How about a little Debbie Gibson?
She's dreamy.
You remember her?
Yes, I do.
I'll take a whole lot of Debbie Gibson.
A little? Yeah, all right. Yeah. Is she one hit wonder? Did she qualify?
She had a couple.
She may have had a couple, but I didn't follow pop music in the early 90s that way. That was sort of her era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of early
90s? We got a lot of tunes today.
I believe she's now Deborah Gibson.
That's right.
Did she do some nude thing in Playboy or something?
Again.
I think she's kind of trying to, you know, get a little bad.
You could just pick one of the mics instead of
I just had to agree with Jason and Sean. They're both right.
Okay.
She's Deborah,
and you have
she's
any questions
hot.
You want to ask Jason?
Yes. Well, I want to ask you, Robin. Robin, can I ask you a question?
Can I?
Okay. Here I am sitting next to Jason.
Yes?
You have to agree that we both practically look the same. We have a shaved head and a little fur on the chin, right?
Not even close.
But when you look at us, do we look like a set of tits with hair?
I thought I was going to get away without having to turn your mic off this week.
You could have had a total recall moment because I usually shave my head. See, he got it.
My dog is a plumber.
Oh, three tits. Total recall.
Yeah. Okay. See, it's right. The delay that's nice. Built into the software.
Nice. Nice.
That was excellent. I still don't get it. Okay. All right, we'll just play another song. We could play some Debbie Gibson. I want to play something that's upbeat, though. I'm going to play something that's upbeat, yeah?
Do you have Human League?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are we taking requests?
Well, Boingo. No, we don't. No.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
No,
how about those guys?
No, maybe next week. No, we're going to play Miriam Makeba.
Oh, God.
What show was she on?
Couldn't we just have Madness?
Wasn't she Tootie from Facts of Life?
One Step Beyond. That's what we're going to do when we get back, actually. We're going to play...
Tootie from Facts of Life?
Yeah, we're going to play Tootie.
Will you talk to her?
No.
Coming up on the show.
Is she on the show?
Yeah.
Actually, when we get back, we should see if we can get Jan Karam on the phone. Not because she has anything to say. It's kind of a condo. See if we can get her on the phone.
What was the thing she was at last week when she called in?
Jan last week was, she works as, she's like a catering business.
Right.
And she does all these celebrity catering gigs. And so she was at some kind of big time, big deal celebrity catering gig.
Mel Gibson's son, Briss?
I don't, thanks. You know, there were people on your blog, by the way, randomshow.blogspot.com.
Thank you.
Who wanted to take up a donation so that you could just keep driving around the country.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That's very nice of them.
Well, in a way.
I would keep going.
All right.
How much did you raise?
We're out of time. We'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
so shy.
From the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're, I don't know, 57 minutes into the first hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com. And we're over on iTunes, and we love the fact that people have been giving us these really positive reviews. If you go over to the iTunes music store and you type in Schnauzer, you don't even have to type in Schnauzer Logic, just Schnauzer. You'll find the Schnauzer Logic podcast and go click on it, and you can give us a review. We'd love positive reviews, but we'll kind of take anything, just action. We want a little action. We want to see things happening on the podcast. So right now we have 5 reviews there, and they're all positive. They're all hot reviews. So that works for us. Let's say welcome back in Zona Vista to Jason Nathanson, Zona Vista.
Zona Vista.
And Zona Vista to Parvis Vitali.
Son of Easter, Robin.
And Son of Easter to Sean Meehan.
Son of Easter.
All right. So, Sean hasn't... I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
I just felt like we were on to tell the truth. One of us was going to have to stand up. We're each going to be asked questions about ourselves and...
So, you know, since we were here last, there's been an awful lot going on in the world today. But obviously, the most insane thing that happened recently was just about a week ago, right? With the exposure of this terrorist plot in the UK to ignite Vaseline and with a baby candle and shit like that.
It was a sequel.
What's
it
a baby
I don't know.
Bojinka 2: The Quickening.
Yes.
And as often as the case, sequels are not as successful as the originals. And I think that this one was a failure.
Well, it certainly appears to be, although what it did succeed in doing is it succeeded in terrorizing everyone again. You guys know, I think, my ex, Carol. She flew to London the day after this all went down. And she's the kind of person that gets to the airport like, you know, 20 minutes before the flight. And you go, really, you need to be there like an hour. Nah. And then, of course, is screaming and shouting that she's missing her flight. And why doesn't anybody let her through? And don't they understand how important she is? And... So,
why aren't you still married to her? She's a lovely woman.
You can't tell? No, I do. I love her. There are some people that I love that I don't want to be married to. There are 3 people in this room that qualify for that. All right, 2, and I won't tell you which 2. But seriously, folks, but she went and, you know, there was no liquids, right? They made people carry their belongings in clear plastic bags. And it occurred to me that the fact that they were able to get everyone in the, at least in the United States and the UK, to change the way that they live. Isn't that by definition a successful terrorist operation?
I think so. I mean, if terrorism, if the goal of terrorism is to inspire terror, you obviously don't need a successful operation in the sense that it reaches its operational goal of actually killing people or destroying infrastructure. You can just terrorize them with the threat of it, and I think that's where we've arrived. I think we're also, I think, extraordinarily easily frightened. I'm very surprised. You know, it's just interesting that I think the Israelis
that actually scared me.
That's what he meant, Jerry. He was
it's contagious. Yeah. It's, now any one of us could go off with a sound like that, and all of us could be scared. All right, let's everyone strip naked and make sure that
What are you
no
drinking in there?
I'm carrying my belongings in a plastic bag.
You can't even have a bra now. You know those bras with the gel inserts?
Yes.
They aren't allowing those on aircraft now because you could blow up
you know
your
what?
Own
good,
boobs.
Good. And I'm happy about that because the gel inserts are nothing but they're false advertising and they shouldn't be allowed anyway.
Thank you.
Our truth in advertising advocate is spoken.
You take them off and she doesn't have tits. That should be, she shouldn't have them in the first place.
I mean, I think that there are certain, you start doing that though and then where do heels go? Because they elevate
the Oh, I know where the heels go, my friend.
It is weird. It is weird. But you know, I do think that there is a difference this time around.
Really?
Which is, Bush's numbers, if you read domestic polls in the United States, Bush's numbers and Republican numbers have not benefited from this terror. For whatever reason, he is not getting an approval bump, although the numbers are showing that people are re-alerted to the terrorist concern.
Right.
They are reprioritizing terrorism as high on their list of concerns, downgrading the economy. So people are aware of it. They are alert to it. Mm-hmm. They are alarmed by it. But this is not turning into bank for Bush and the Republicans. And that is an interesting development. I think it's something we haven't seen thus far. I'm excited about it personally.
Well, you know, my thought about the process is that it feels to me, and you may be right about that. I mean, from a political point of view, it may be that they're going to have to amp it up even more. You're not a conspiracy theorist. You don't think that they actually wanted a plane to go down just in order to ensure Republican victory in the fall.
No, I think that they certainly, if you are to believe some of the news reports that I have seen, the U.S. put pressure on the British to actually blow this thing wide open right now to arrest the potential terrorists.
Right.
The British preferred to do more surveillance,
right?
See where this led.
Didn't
and
seem
roll
like it was imminent
down the road, right?
They didn't all have passports, right? They hadn't checked timetables. There was no indication.
There wasn't a real plan yet,
right? And there wasn't an indication that this actually had the ability to succeed. I mean, I've been reading the blogs online that talk about if you have hydrogen peroxide, which is H2O2, and you have acetone, which is H3SO2 or something like that, then you can create hydrochloric acid and create an explosion, whatever it is. But we're not talking about the kind of quantities that would take a whole plane down.
I think you could have a cabin fire.
Yes.
I mean, personally, with these kinds of amounts, could you hurt some people?
Sure.
You probably could.
Absolutely.
Are you going to bring the plane down? Not unless you can get that stuff into the cockpit.
Right.
Which I find, you know, that's a whole nother level of sophistication.
And it seems to me that when the response to this, and now, I'm not being funny, I'm being serious, the response to this should have been that the Transportation Safety Administration basically said, you know what, we're not even going to try to keep people from taking weapons on planes anymore. So we're going to just let people start taking weapons again. You can take knives on planes again. We're going to let you take everything you want on the plane. Anybody tries anything like this, we're going to screen, you know. But anybody tries anything like this, you're probably going to get your throat cut. We're just, because there's no possibility, and so
this is the Israeli kind of understanding.
Is that right?
Well, not on aircraft.
Jews
but,
on trains. Planes.
But essentially,
and automobiles.
That's part of their society. You have an armed society, because the understanding is that if anybody tries anything, there's going to be an extraordinary response from the general public. And I think you and I had this conversation after 9/11. This is the last time anything like 9/11 is ever going to happen, because as soon as somebody tries anything, they are going to be immediately subdued by the people around them.
Today, there was a woman on an airplane flight from
London to New York,
To Washington, D.C. Yeah, and of course, immediately Fox reported that this was an attack on the White House, because Fox is, fair and balanced. not mine, but I'll do it anyhow. I can't take credit for it. I think it was Randy Rhodes who actually said that today earlier. But they reported that it was an attack on the White House, and it turned out this was a woman who apparently was a little unstable, right? They didn't but when she became unstable and argumentative, the rest of the passengers began immediately subduing her.
It wasn't a joke. I'm glad that you thought it was funny.
Well, I heard seduce.
Yeah. No, you did. Thanks. Thanks very much.
You're a little off the rocker, but you're hot.
Thanks, dude. You're a little hot, too. But you're made with one. But, I mean, she didn't get any further than
one
that.
One thing you were saying earlier, and I haven't been inside the media bubble over the past couple of weeks since this story broke. You're saying that people have been terrified by this. We haven't been blown up, but people are terrorized in this country. Is that the case? Has the media been
if you're
reporting
willing
that people
to,
are afraid and scared to get on planes?
I don't think you have to be afraid to get on a plane in order to be terrorized. I think you have to be willing to give up your personal freedoms. People are willing to travel. Women are willing to travel without makeup. If that's not terrifying for the women, it's certainly terrifying for the
well,
men.
I think this is they've succeeded in annoying us by making us go to the airport and, you know, go through these long lines again and things like that. But I think it's also good that we're
and inconveniencing us.
Well,
if it helps to keep us
like
safe.
Sean said, it brought back the vigilance a little that had lost. And I think a lot of people had forgotten about 9/11, but the impact
how could
that
you forget about 9/11.
The impact that it had, the impact that it had and how we all felt kind of you know, unified and vigilant right afterwards. And I think this serves to remind us, okay, yeah, we still need to be a little vigilant. And I personally have no problem in Israel because of all the terrorism. You can't get on a plane, you know, if you look even vaguely like they profiled you, you know, like a shoe bomber or anything else like that.
I don't have any trouble with pulling.
Couldn't get on the plane.
Probably not.
No.
And I see no problem with standing in a line for an hour, 2 hours before getting on a plane. It shouldn't be just, oh, you can walk on a plane and it's really easy. There should be tight, strict measures to getting on a plane in this country.
Yeah, but why did they take away a little, you know, tool that I had on my keychain? That's insane.
The tweezers and the measures taken were preposterous.
They're taking away nail polish, because there's acetone. Now, if you come on board and you have a 55-gallon drum of nail polish, you know, you know, fuck me red nail polish, you know, and you're kind of rolling it down the aisle and you hope to get lucky somewhere over Seattle.
We tend to overreact in this country, but I'd rather we overreact than underreact.
No.
Don't you?
No.
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 You'd rather that I'd rather be inconvenienced just a little bit.
We're with the terrorists.
Apparently so.
My sense is
go ahead.
No,
no, no, no, no, no. You.
Okay, I will. Why are we so concentrating on the airports and airplanes? What about trains? What about buses? What about football stadiums? I mean, you're sitting here, we're all talking about inconvenience on the airplane, but there's other means of terrorism.
You're absolutely correct, and once the terrorists figure that out, we're all in big trouble. But
fortunately, they're not fans of the 49ers either. But seriously.
Or Schnauzer Logic, so they're not listening.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, for whatever
reason...
That really hurt.
I'm just saying, it's hard to get reception in the sand.
It's hard out here to be a team.
You have a big following in Yemen. I thought I saw on the Google.
No, but in Sweden. Within the first day of these little things that showed up on this Google Analytics was a listener in Sweden.
Probably has a gun in his mouth every day until Wednesdays and Thursdays. He puts it down for 2 hours. And it gets replenished. And then around Tuesday, he's like, life sucks. I'm tired of the clogs.
Tired of the what?
The clogs.
Clogs.
Or clucks. That's what I heard.
Okay. I think what we're trying to do, people, though, and tell your friends, email your buddies, we're desperately trying to build our audience in first world English speaking countries as well, where we seem to be lagging behind.
We're really big in troll hogging.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
So did we solve the terrorism thing?
Well, no, I just,
oh, okay.
I guess I'm concerned that there are generations of people like you mm-hmm. who are willing to give up personal freedoms, are willing to give up convenience.
I don't see it as a personal freedom to be able to bring on a nail clipper on an airplane. If that's...
Well, it's a slippery slope. So are you okay with the government listening to your phone calls or at least keeping track of your
records? No, but one doesn't necessarily always lead to another.
But in this case, they do. I mean, it's the same root cause. We have to fight terrorism, and as a result of that, you have to give up your personal privacy.
By the way, I am okay with the government listening to my phone calls. And legally. Doing it legally. Not the way they went about it. But I'm okay with that if they're looking for terrorists. Yeah.
I see. So is there anything that they couldn't do in the name of looking for terrorists?
Well, if I'm calling Afghanistan...
And what does it mean to look for terrorists? This is a war that doesn't actually have any parameters. This is 1984.
There are legal ways to get around that. If I am caught on my cell phone dealing cocaine, but they say that I was, you know, looking... that I was talking to terrorists or something like that, that evidence couldn't be thrown out in court because it is not... You have to show a correlation between the two.
But I understand what it means for you to be on the phone putting together a cocaine deal. I don't understand what it means for you to be on the phone engaged in terrorism. Now, if you're engaged in some kind of physical violence, like a bomber, right? You're planning to blow something up. Why is that terrorism instead of you're a bomber, right? You're planning on blowing something up.
But I mean, I would hope that they're using.
We didn't call Timothy McVeigh a terrorist.
That's true, and he should have been. Well, and
no,
he was called by some sects of, I think, the more right wing people, you know, homegrown terrorist.
After the fact,
right.
When terrorism became sort of the term of the day, the term du jour, but we didn't call him a terrorist. We didn't call the bomber down in, where was the other place that they were bombing? Was it Atlanta?
Oh, the Atlanta, the Olympic
Richard.
Bomber.
Yeah, yeah, Richard.
No, he wasn't the Olympic terrorist. Yeah, he was the Olympic bomber.
Yeah, he was a bomber.
Right.
I think that there has been a
drop
subtle
the deuce.
Change of language from specificity to ideology that began
with
Ronald Reagan in 1980 when he announced that this country was changing course, that the previous stated mantra of the previous administration, the Carter administration, their foreign policy would be based on the expansion of human rights. Ronald Reagan changed it to the elimination of global terrorism. That's not my interpretation. That was a fact. That was
yes.
A State Department release.
But also, I think we've seen terrorism grow in these past 30 years.
A happy
years.
Ending, if you will.
We've seen a
cause and effect? You yeah. be the judge.
We've seen a prevalence of terrorism that we didn't see before. You know,
that's not true. There have always been random acts of violence. That's what they are. These are random acts of violence.
And there always will be.
Yes.
But no, they're not. I think
what we've done is we've created the mindset that these random acts of violence are, in fact, all part of an evil web
yes.
of enemies. Where, in fact, I mean, I think we're
That's
already
George
seeing
Bush
this.
Is doing, yeah.
I think we're already seeing this with the more reports of the British...
Sure.
Bojinka 2 plot.
Yes.
That these people, they have no connection to Al-Qaeda. They have no... What they are whack jobs.
They're localized whack jobs.
Right. They may be inspired by certain ideas, but people are inspired by Nazi ideas. People are inspired by strange biblical apocalyptic millennial ideas. All these ideas. No one thinks that these people are part of some intricate web, and they're all in communication, and they create this dark enemy, this dark amorphous single entity that we must fight.
We got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side with more of this scintillating conversation. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Yeah.
You're hot. He's hot. She's hot. I'm hot. You're hot. He's hot. She's hot. Real hot. Real hot. Real hot. Real hot.
Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock you.
Welcome back. We're 20 minutes into the second hour. Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Jason Nathanson, Parviz Fatali, and you. I'm sorry you guys weren't here during the break. We were talking anal sex. Butt plug? Not butt plugs.
No, dildos.
Dildos.
Dildos. Strap-on.
Strap-on.
Yeah.
Isn't that a tool? No, that's Snap-on.
Right.
They make tools for auto mechanics. I wonder how often that gets confused. I'm guessing only once. if you confuse a strap-on for a Snap-on, it only happens once.
Good afternoon. Snap-on. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Looking for a strap-on. No, wrong number.
I didn't actually mean it like that.
You find a whole bunch of people just following that Snap-on van around. Is it?
Oh. So we talked a little bit before about TV, right? I mean, some old TV shows.
Yeah.
I found a website that has theme songs from really, really old TV shows. And I started to go through some of them, and I realized that they create kind of an ambiance. So you're going to need to be able to hear a little bit of this. Maybe you turn like one of your earphones, like turn the outer one upside down. That'll flip around.
Yeah, flip it over.
Yeah, and then you'll be able to hear it. Yeah, see, and then you can, well, you can, or you can just keep it on your head, and then you can, okay, that's. It's really gay.
It's less gay this
way. We look like a set of tits with support bra.
Yeah, that's what you look like. All right, fine. So, yeah, here we go.
Gelled at that.
All right. We're gonna. Who is it?
Curious George.
I knew there'd be comedy.
Oh, it's Beretta.
Thank you.
Oh. With no price on your head. No, no.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Don't do it.
Gonna shoot my wife.
And keep your eye.
You remember this?
No.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
When the
it's really operatic.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I don't want to play them all the way through. I realize that I think that like these songs are they make the show. Like without the song, would Beretta have been the same show that it would have been?
Would have been such a killer show.
That's my
thanks, Jason.
That's my point.
There is a cop that Beretta is based on, and about nine other somewhat less successful shows.
Try to do the same thing?
From the 70s, are all based on this one guy's life. And he came to our school one day for an assembly. And he basically, he told us, you know, don't do the crime if you can't do
the crime.
Is that
right?
But I think playing the song, if he would have had those backup singers,
that would have been enough.
The message would have stuck with me.
It would have sunk in.
But here's another one.
Wait. Is this Mod Squad?
Very good. This guy is.
Watched a lot of TV.
He's an idiot savant.
This guy had no friends as a kid. Okay.
But this is big show music.
Oh yeah.
Like something's gonna be happening.
This made Link.
Yeah. And somebody wrote this.
Yeah. Well, these were great. This was, these were those, who's the name of the guy who did the Mission Impossible soundtrack?
Oh, Lalo Schifrin. Lalo Schifrin.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise.
This.
What?
You have to understand, I'm from a different generation.
I know. I realize that, yeah.
All these songs were virtually all done by Lalo Schifrin.
Is that true?
Just about. And almost all of, just like all the songs from the late 70s and 80s were done by Mike Post.
Magnum P.I.
Was this a Mike Post, uh-huh, Pete Carpenter?
Yep. With the guitar.
Yeah.
I wonder how you make the decision to go with lyrics or no lyrics.
It's a good question.
Why would you not go with lyrics on this one as opposed to lyrics on the other one?
I think that for the most part, shows, dramas, and thriller action shows had no lyrics.
Oh, that's interesting.
Comedies seem to frequently have lyrics.
Oh, that's cool.
Beretta, we just played.
That's true.
The exception
true.
That proves the rule.
That doesn't make sense.
I know.
That never
I know.
Sense.
I do that just to frustrate him.
The exception doesn't prove the fucking rule. Hold on a second here. Now the world don't
move to the beat of just one drum. Huh? Are we guessing?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Different strokes.
Different strokes. Why say it so quietly?
Different strokes.
Ding! I like your theory about that comedies have lyrics. It's like in Shakespeare, right? The tragedies are all the names of people.
Right.
And the comedies are all the names of places or events or things, right?
Right, they have full titles.
Yes.
Here's the weird thing, though. The lyrics aren't funny. So if it's a comedy, you would think the lyrics would be funny.
But that's
hard,
true.
It's hard to make funny lyrics. So for
no boats, no lights, no motor cars. That just Oh, God. I mean, here comes another spasm of laughter.
Well, let's see here. I got another one.
Lost in Space.
Oh, man. Wow. Now, was this Lalo Schifrin or...?
No, but Lost in Space had two themes. They changed their theme music midway through the run of the series, and that was one of the first compositions by...
John Williams,
the now incredibly famous multi-Academy Award-winning composer of enormous soundtracks like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Superman, all those...
All right, let's see here.
Does that make you hot to women, that kind of knowledge, or...
He's married, you're not. Shut the fuck up.
That's what I'm wondering. How'd you get married? Maybe it works. Maybe that's what it was.
I don't really know how it happened, but, I work every
roofies?
Day to make sure
roofies.
That it,
roofies.
It won't unhappen.
Huh? Okay.
I will use roofies. Rockford. This is a Mike Post Pete Carpenter.
Yes, it is. Do you remember this? See, I really, you're a TV guy, right? I mean, do you like associate the songs? I mean, can you not hear loud enough?
No, I hear, but I wasn't into Mod Squad. I wasn't into...
Really? These are not your shows?
None of these shows were my shows.
Oh.
Closest thing was Different Strokes.
What were your shows?
Different Strokes. Knight Rider. Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah.
Was a good one. The Hulk.
There you got the little Pete Carpenter. Yeah.
Jeffersons. But like Jason said, all the cool ones had the fun lyrics and the facts of life, the fun sing-along stuff.
Okay. Yeah, this was a Mike Post, right?
Yeah. I dig the little guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Casio keyboard makes the whole thing fly.
It's a nice Moog.
I know which one had the Moog. Hold on, this had the Moog. This was either a Moog or a theremin. Huh?
Curious George.
this was the
teacups. This is the teacups in Disneyland.
This was the Mystery Theater. This was
the CBS teacups in
Isn't
Disneyland.
It? That's a theme for the teacups in Disneyland.
The CBS Mystery Theater theme.
Wait! What the fuck are you talking about?
This is the theme song for the teacups in Disneyland.
Are you guys listening to what he's saying?
I am, but
this is a show about murder and mayhem.
this is like Columbo. This was Columbo.
This is the Saturday Night Mystery movie.
Right,
the,
this is right. McMillan and Wife.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Columbo and those guys.
We just almost kissed. We were about to talk at the same time. Mike.
It was so beautiful.
Now you may touch my monkey. Oh, God.
Well, we have our headphones split up, so maybe he's hearing something else in his headphones.
It could be. These are all in high-qual stereo, as you can tell. Let's see. I got more here. Now, this one had to change.
Flipper.
The first thing sounded... Yeah.
Nothing?
No, it's Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, but I'm looking at these two guys here.
Well, what year?
This is the early 1800s, I think. When you have to watch TV by candlelight.
This is kind of the Glen Campbell 1969
that's right.
Sort of.
And this is when they said you might just make it after all, right? I mean, that changed the theme to say you're going to make it after all.
Why? Did they have to be positively affirming that?
No, she made it.
Yeah.
Oh, she did make
it.
B.F. Skinner called and said, you know, there's not enough. That's not affirmative enough. She may not make it. Now this will plant the shadow of doubt. Hulk. This is a Hulk.
Dr. David Banner.
The Hulk.
I played this because you told me that this was your show.
I know, but
and you
Sean
said
beat
me like, to it. Sean beat you to it.
The Hulk.
I've been saying it by overmodulating like crazy. Oh, this is no fun because it has all this talking in it. All right, let's see here. I got some more.
The $6 million man, too, had talking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking.
Batman.
Well, it's just Get Smart, but
yeah.
there is a Batman kind of quality, too.
Yeah.
I can sort of...
I love how Sean's a matter-of-fact, he just comes in, well, it is Get Smart, but no, it has a Batman quality.
It's adorable how Parviz tries.
Yeah, exactly.
I think of him as the left boob.
All right, so now I have to stump Sean. That's the whole idea. All right, I'll stump Sean with this one. One of you guys got to get this.
Facts of Life.
No.
I bet we've been together. Greatest American Hero.
No, it's the Alex B. Keaton one, right?
Oh, Family Ties.
Yes!
Yeah. See, this is a real bad genre
you know,
for me. 80s family.
But yeah, I'll get the
Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.
Greatest American Hero was a great theme song, though. That was an actual song,
and
wasn't it?
That had songs. That had lyrics.
Yeah, that was an actual song, I think, from Supertramp? No, I'm not sure.
No. He wrote it. It was a Pete Carpenter.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Yeah.
It's Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.
Oh, yeah, Solid Gold guys, huh? Rex Reed and Marilyn McCoo.
And Billy Davis Jr.
Right.
Yeah. And also Jose Cruz Jr. You know, you guys...
The two hairy breasts get involved.
John and Rich, John and Paul here.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. That's all I can feel. So free. Riding away like a wing and a prayer. Who could it be?
I actually think Jason was singing the song on his trip across America.
It's just me.
Maybe that's why they threw the ashtray. Shut the hell up!
All these Cannell shows, all these Stephen J. Cannell shows had the Mike Post Pete Carpenter music.
Yeah.
Was he a producer?
He was a producer. He did this, the A-Team. He did Rockford, you know, those kinds of things.
Can I hear Little Three's Company, please?
Simon und Simon.
Oh, yeah, porno music.
And we got lyrics that whole time.
What'd you say?
This has lyrics.
So oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does have lyrics.
What other show had...
And?
No. What other show, a very popular show that I can't wait to get on DVD, but what other popular show had an original song from Billy Joel?
Entourage.
Oh, Bosom Buddies?
Bosom Buddies.
I was going to say Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies!
Thank you for calling in.
Do you have that one?
No. How many do you think? Come on, I've had a lot of what you wanted here.
It's Robin's All Request TV Weekend.
Really? Now I'm getting bored.
Who's the... This... I never noticed just how lethargic the opening... the lyrics are sung there. I don't know who the vocalist is, but it's...
Coming up. it was a
union guy about to quit.
Oh, Perry. Who wrote the Perry Mason?
John Williams, Billy Joel. I think Randy Newman.
Great work,
Bosom Buddies.
Police Squad. On the Rednecks album.
He's gonna play for the Southern Judge. All right. I just think these are. I found a whole website. I don't have a link here, but I found a whole website of these. They're not great quality, obviously, but these are.
But it brings it back.
Every one of these brings it back. Like, you don't have to see the show. All you do is need to listen to like 30 seconds. Because none of these are longer than a minute. I mean, they're all tiny.
You know, in most cases, you don't need to see the show anyway.
Is that right?
Some of the shows are that bad.
It is incredibly disappointing. Probably a lot of people out there are familiar with Netflix. You have access to an enormous library of DVDs, and a lot of these shows are on DVD, and I have been re-exploring some of the television from my childhood, and it is awful. Even shows that I thought were quality shows, like The Rockford Files.
Right.
Just sometimes bizarre, surreally awful.
Yeah. I wonder if none of you guys will get this one, I'm sure. This is a...
I Married Joan or something?
No, but that's... That, it had that quality, no? They like me. They really like me.
Oh, my gosh. This isn't the
Gidget,
Flying
Giggly,
Nun.
Giggly, Giggly, Giggly.
Is this Gidget?
Gidget.
Yeah, it's not Gidget.
Gidget.
Is it the Flying Nun?
Norma Ray.
Is it the Flying Nun?
Is this the Norma Ray movie?
All I see is
it is the Flying Nun.
I just see the whites of his eyes, and I hear giggly, 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 giggly.
It is, huh? It's Norma Ray?
What was the name of the guy who she had that mysterious semi-sexual but still kind of strangely androgynous?
Like Alejandro? Or
Yeah.
Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, though. You remember the show well enough to... She had a strange relationship.
Did we figure out what show it was?
Flying Nun.
Yeah, Flying Nun.
Remember the Flying Nun?
Vaguely.
What I think is so bizarre is I can't imagine a show like that being produced today, that the political correctness would... No, I mean, seriously,
yeah.
Right? Because you would think people would complain about making fun of religion, of nuns. Not the
Absolutely.
Fact that she could fly, not that was sacrilegious, that she would, like, move the wings of her habit, you know, this yeah, old-fashioned, whatever the hat.
Yeah.
But didn't last season NBC produced one about a priest who had a drug addiction and killed somebody or something? You know, it was a comedy... Right? No, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Book of Daniel.
No. Yeah, the Book of Daniel.
Yeah, he didn't kill anyone.
he masturbated a small boy in his car. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
All
right.
You going to be here next week? Oh, wait. No, that's what I usually ask Parviz. I'm sorry.
I wonder, though, about things like that. I think that there are so many notions that... I really despise the term political correctness because sometimes it's just a cover for, I think, conservatives and right-wingers to get around morals and ethics. But
sure. Or doing something that's just plain inappropriate.
Right. Well, that's politically correct of you not to have me jack off in front of your kids,
right.
I'm sure. But,
and you just shouldn't call people
to.
Negroes. I mean, it's not political correctness. It's
just
appropriateness.
It's just appropriateness. And it's, but in any case, there is
an example.
There is a sense, though, that the innocence of these shows, they are so unaware of the transgressions we would feel that they were making now.
Right.
That's kind of wonderful.
Were they unaware? I mean, when you hear a lot of these people interviewed now, like, for a small example, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, you know, and a lot of people thought the songs were so innocent back then, but, you know, it turns out they really weren't all that innocent. And he knew that they weren't innocent.
Like what?
Surfer Girl?
I can't remember off the top of
that
my head.
That was about a hoe I got it.
No, but, I mean,
San Bernardino.
Especially the Beach Boys. I mean, their songs are about as all-American white bread.
Well, and about... A lot of them are about, you know, staying out late and having sex and wanting to have sex and, you know, things.
Yeah, but
like.
I don't think that anybody thought anything was wrong with that. I don't think the wanting. I don't think there's ever been a problem with desire.
That's fulfillment.
It's the fulfillment part.
Hmm.
The radical right is happy to have you have desire. That's what makes the economy go.
Right. That's why the chicken wings at Hooters sell so well.
So you're saying the HR Puffin stuff, they didn't know that that was all about acid.
Well, that was the 70s.
That's because you can't get a little because you can't get enough.
But you know, I heard an interview with Andy, with Andy, and he was talking about how because he was, you know, also a writer and producer on Mayberry on the Andy Griffith Show, and he said that they very self-consciously returned to a time prior to the 1950s when that show was in production, the late 50s and early 60s. He said that consciously they understood Mayberry was already gone when the Andy Griffith Show was on. That these were recollections of a Depression era town that were updated to be contemporary, but essentially they already understood that there was a false wholesomeness. Although I don't think they viewed it as a bad thing. It wasn't kitsch to them. I think they genuinely were nostalgic for this. It wasn't cynical, but he understood at that time that the world is not like this, and we are presenting a false picture of the world to create an innocence that he felt was lacking in 1960 America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same with Happy Days, I think.
Sure. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, good call.
Excellent.
Thanks. I'm going home now.
Good while you're ahead. All right, here's what we'll do.
I'm out.
Peace out. That's my chime. All right, we'll take a break. We'll play another tune. I think we'll play a little Zager and Evans. You remember Zager.
Yeah, I ID'd him in a lineup.
All right, we'll play a little Zager and Evans. We'll come back. Now, do you have a plumbing update this week or not?
No.
No? Okay, good. Because I'm thinking we won't do them anymore.
What?
We're going to start a new segment called
what?
Ask
I need
Parviz.
My own segment.
We're going to...
Look, he's panicked. Just breathe.
Bosom
well,
buddies.
Breathe, well, Rob.
I said we're going to start a new segment called S. Parviz, but it'll be hosted by Sean. Or random fucking listeners.
What was it, F. Parviz or S?
Ask Parviz.
Oh, I just said F. Parviz. I think you said what to say F. Parviz. Now it's a new segment. F. Parviz. Now the other segment.
Look at the paranoia. Terrorism takes many forms, and look at what it's done.
I'm out of control.
We have a new segment called F.
I thought that's what you said, and I went with it because I guess it's appropriate. I don't know.
You didn't go
you
with
poor
it.
Guy.
You didn't go with it
I did it.
What?
What?
Oh God. Oh. All right. We'll take a.
Oh, man. All right. So what's the new segment? I'm excited.
It's going to be called Ask Parviz.
And what are you going to do?
Pete, where you're going to be like general knowledge. You're going to ask people any questions that they want of you. They have to write in to go to the blog, www.schnauzerlogic.com, and they can send email, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, and then they can ask any question on any subject. Because now having known you for, 7 years, something like that?
It's been a nice 7 years.
My sense is that you
right,
are...
Robin?
It's been glorious. It's been glorious. And my sense is
don't
you...
Don't treat me like Jason, please.
I wouldn't think of it because you're a little taller. But what I'm... It's been glorious. No, you are an expert in everything. I think we could ask you a question.
You.
We could ask you a question about anything, and you would have an insightful and cogent answer.
Can I ask the first question right now?
Yeah.
What is the name of the segment?
Well, I thought it was F. Parviz. And then when I realized it was S. Parviz, and then I realized
Before
it was
you leave,
Ask
I need
Parviz.
You to do a little production with me here on. All right, we're taking a break. All right.
That would be sad.
I have Q-tips in the bathroom.
For my belly button?
Yeah, that's what they're for. We'll play some tunes. We'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545,
gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 55, 55, your arms are hanging limp at your side. Your legs got nothing to do. Some machine doing that for you. In the year 65, 65, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too. From the bottom of a long glass tube, whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God is gonna shake his mighty head. He'll either say, I'm pleased where man has been, or tear it down and start again. Whoa, whoa. In the year 95, 95, I'm kinda wondering if man is gonna be alive. He's taken everything this old earth can give, and he ain't put back nothing. Whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may.
Road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. I'm Brian Cox, and some people have asked me to throw my email address out there. If you want to get in touch with me, here's my email address, info@coxmarketing.ca. info@coxmarketing.ca. Okay, let's get into the road story. Let's talk about agents. You gotta have them if you're a comic. They're like the pimps of the industry. They get your work. They get your work in clubs, one-nighters, stuff like that. They send you out and, you know, you pay them a percentage, anywhere between 10 to 25%. And it's up to the agent to put you up on your nights off. You see, if he gets you work at a club, well, then the club pays for your accommodation. And one-nighters, well, the venue usually pays for your accommodation. Then if you have a couple of nights off, the agent is supposed to pay for your accommodations. On the road with a comic, well, we'll call him Marty. The agent was to put us up at the regular crap hotel, but really, they shut the place down. And I'm not kidding here. The cops were digging up the parking lot because someone told them there was a body buried there. I'm not kidding you. That's true. So the agent had to put us up at the hotel where he had his office. The hotel had a strip club attached to it with about 8 or 10 girls performing there every night. Now, as it worked out, all the strippers stayed up on the third floor, and that's where the agent put the comics up as well. Strippers on one side of the hallway working for one kind of agent, and comics on the other side of the hallway working for this agent. Now, I don't know if you know this, but strippers always have a gimmick in their act. It might be, shooting ping pong balls, that type of thing. Well, there was one girl staying up on the third floor. After we checked in, we found this out. Her name was Sheena. Sheena of the jungle. And she had snakes and various animals in her act. Well, we really wanted to go down and see this act for sure. Marty and I were visiting in the room, and he came up with something I'd never heard of. He said, hey, let's troll for strippers. Okay. I inquired, how? So he said, go to the door and open it up. So I did. I came back, sat down on the bed. I was facing the open door. He sat on the other bed with his back to the door. Okay, you got that? Marty reaches into his pocket, pulls out a big fatty. Okay, he sparks it up and explains to me that the smell will permeate the hallway, that strippers will smell it, and they'll come to our room here for a little taste. So I thought, okay, that's pretty smart. About a minute goes by, we're chatting away. I looked over at the doorway and I couldn't believe it. There was a 900-pound Bengal tiger just making his way slowly into our room. I thought, oh my gosh, this is pretty good stuff. But anyway, Marty's sitting there. I said, Marty, don't move, don't move. He goes, why? He turned, he looked at the door, and honest to gosh, that's the first time I've ever seen a black comic turn white. In walks the stripper right after. There you are. Starts scolding the tiger. The tiger rolls over for a tummy rub. Marty's staring at this thing. His eyes are huge. He's going, oh my gosh. And I gotta tell you that Marty has never trolled for strippers again in his life. That's it for Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. I'm Brian Cox.
Welcome back. We're about 49 minutes into the second hour. Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Jason Nathanson, Parviz Vitali, Sean Meehan. I got to point at him, otherwise I don't remember.
Son of Easter.
When I hear this, I feel like taking ecstasy at a petting zoo / rodeo.
Why do you not like this so much?
I don't know.
Don't you like taking E at a petting zoo rodeo?
I do, and that's the thing that I don't get.
You know, Rosemary used to hate this song too. Did you hate this at KSCO? I used to play this during the old Airplay show,
yeah,
and she didn't like it.
And I don't remember exactly how it came up, but I found the site, or Susan Simon, our old traffic news person, found the site.
Yeah.
Or you found the site. I don't remember how it went, but we used to play it all the time, and I think it grated. It was enough.
God, I think it's funny. Now, this is ironic. I play this because it's ironic.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad. Because I'm glad you're not playing because you'd like it. You do like it.
He likes the irony of it.
I like the irony of it, yeah.
Let's try it.
I see those hamsters on the webpage dancing and swirling around.
This harkens back to a very, very early time on the internet, right?
Yes.
I mean, before this kind of high flash graphics, right? And all this.
Right. And this was one of the first very viral things that I remember happening.
There you go.
Everybody knew about it, but there was no promotion for it. It got emailed from person to person to person. And, it's like MySpace now or Friendster.
Right. Speaking of viral marketing, because you're in probably a better demographic for that than I am, right? You're still in your 20s.
Yes.
And you're in your 30s, and we're in our 40s, right?
Our 40s.
So we kind of have a pretty broad range here. When you think
it's like The View. I'm sorry, but I just had to get that in there.
I'm the Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
White cunt.
I'm kind of a Meredith Vieira.
If you make me be Barbara Walters again.
Don't worry out there. It's just a little game we play. I pretend to be Fidel. She's Barbara.
So you think now about what you're going to do. Are you going to head back to Los Angeles at some point? Maybe another week or whatever it is, but you're going to go back to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
My guess is that you have doors that are open for you, but I heard you talking before the show today. You'd like to do something in broadcasting.
Yeah.
I'd like to stay in broadcasting.
If I wanted to get back into radio, I probably could in some respect at KFI where I used to
work
part-time or something. Like
absolutely.
That.
And then maybe beyond that. I mean, that's a possibility.
On the station as a host? Or
no. I mean, eventually.
Beyond that.
Yeah, okay. Beyond that.
Yeah.
Right? Producing and then doing more.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to hope to figure out with this trip, whether or not radio is something I wanted to continue with or not, because I'm at the point where you can't really. I hit a ceiling, basically, as a producer in radio, and I need to expand beyond that. The next thing maybe being management or
yeah, some executive position.
Yeah, who knows? But right now I've hit a ceiling, so I need to decide what's next.
So the question I have is, what about using viral marketing of the internet to create something? I mean, we do this podcast thing. We do it once a week, and we're not really doing any viral marketing. We have somewhere between 300 and 500 people who subscribe to the podcast,
right,
and then we have probably another 300 to 500 people who listen over on transfm.org, which is back on the air again. He took a part of the summer off, so we lost that stream, but that stream is back up again. We're part of the show, and he's got 2,500 people who listen to that. So we figure we probably get about a, you know, maybe a quarter, a fifth to a quarter of that listening audience hang with us each week for part of that show. So somewhere between 800 and 1,000 people listen to this, and that's really kind of cool.
Sure.
But we're not looking for gigs. I mean, if there were a gig that came along, that would be interesting, but we're not looking for gigs. But what about using this to create something viral, either on YouTube or MySpace or something of that nature? You're a creative guy.
Right.
You got the tools.
I see, and I'm creative. I lack the motivation. That's always been my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lazy son of a bitch. So now that I
smell a theme. No, but I mean, what about doing a whole video podcast like that? Like, you just, how fucking tired and lazy you are each week. You know, single camera, right? One light, really poorly lit.
Charles Grodin made a career at it. He's done very well.
What about doing something like there's a guy called, whose name is Zee Frank or Zay Frank. Do you know Zay Frank?
No.
He's got a website. It's ZEFRANK.com. I think it's called The Show, and he does a daily Monday through Friday, like a 3 minute or 2 or 3 minute video blog podcast, and it's unfucking believable. I'll put the link on the website. You gotta go there. I'm like hooked. And he does it with a camera. He does some creative things along the way, but like every day, and he's now got thousands. All you have to do, I mean, he's used viral marketing to kind of boom, 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 and there it goes. What about something like that?
Well, when I do get back, there's one of my friends, Sam, that used to do the random show with me. We talked about getting a podcast going, but we talked about doing it in a way as sort of practicing or making tapes, having current stuff to send out to get a show. I'm still stuck in a little old-fashioned way of that. In order to do something like this, you need to be on the radio or on satellite or on TV. For me, it's being on the internet isn't enough as far as I'm trying to make a career out of it and making money, you know, and I don't know how you do that. How do you make money or get a big enough audience that you can turn something? I marvel at people who can turn websites like Fark or Drudge or, you know, things like that into actual businesses, parlay them into careers. It seems like you have to have a real passion for it, and you have to stick at it for maybe a year or two or three while, you know, it's not generating money. Do it for the passion alone.
Have the passion.
I don't have the motivation, though.
What we do here is a big deal only because it's 2 hours. Right?
Right.
So it's 2 hours to record. So we all make a commitment to come into the studio for 2 hours. There's some amount of prep, right, to find the songs and stuff that we do in advance. Then I cut it up afterwards and takes another couple hours to kind of put the show together and then put it up on the website. So I kind of do that over the course of a couple of days and write show notes and whatever it is. But that's because this is a big program that goes out to, you know, somewhere between 800,000 people, and they listen to it over the course of a week. But to do a daily 3 minute thing,
right,
a daily 5 minute thing as a showcase, as a calling card.
And I actually have a lot of respect for you doing this and you knowing that you came back to it after not doing it for a while. And having that inner strength to, you know, get up and keep going with.
Wow.
Because it's,
I think he's calling me a loser.
No, I'm not.
With a dream.
I know it. I knew it was going to sound like that. But
it made you sound like Christopher Reeve. You know, like I can. You know.
You do this, though, because you like to do it, obviously, right?
I mean, I love to do this.
And
it comes through.
And there's no
we
other...
We all love to do it. It's not just me. I mean, Parviz and...
Wait a second.
And that other guy.
I love my video. You don't even know my name? What's up? That Parviz.
That other guy. Shut up.
Oh, shut up. I just chime in 2 seconds already and get a shut up.
Shut up. I know.
One thing I am going to explore when I do get home is... I'm in this old mindset because at my job at KFI, after I was done with that every day, I had no motivation to do anything. I was so spent. I was so tired all week. And the weekend, I just wanted to hang out with my friends. So not having that and having the time to kind of figure out might be better for me now.
Let me tell you what I think works best. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
Just pick up a mic or pick up a camera or pick up both and say, I'm going to fill... You see this here? This is sort of a one-inch square, right? Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful book by Anne Lamott. It's called Bird by Bird, and it's an instruction book about how to become a writer. And the biggest challenge when becoming a writer is you feel like you need to fill an entire book.
Right.
And Anne Lamott says, no, all you have to do is, every day you just have to fill up one-inch square piece of paper. And if you do that every day, day by day, word by word, bird by bird, you'll write your book or your novel or whatever it is that you want to write. I think the same thing is true with creative stuff. You look at it and you think, oh my God, I got to do this entire project. You're imagining distribution channels, royalty checks, how the whole thing has to happen.
Yeah.
Does it?
That's how my mind works.
Just fucking do 2 minutes. That's plenty.
Well, and I've noticed that from keeping a blog, which was a new thing for
exactly.
me. After doing that for 4 months now.
Randomshow.blogspot.com. You can't hear the music because you don't have the extra headphones. I'm sorry, but we thank you so much for being here today. That's Jason Nathanson.
Great to see you.
Dude, you thank fucking you. Rock. Everybody loves it. Randomshow.blogspot.com. We're going to put the interviews for everything that we've done with you on our website so people will be able to get it.
Great.
www.schnauzerlogic.com. Thank you, Parviz. Thank you, Sean. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. Don't be attached to the outcome. We'd love some more positive spin over at iTunes. We're over at MySpace. We're out of time. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Take care. We love you. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.